your faith.
Because you prayed all night. Because you held on with all of your might. Child, your cries have awoken the Master. Oh, He knows your voice. Lift your hands, it's time to rejoice.
Of your life had begun, seeing no hope in the distance. You're frightened and nowhere.
Snore, sleep 8 hours, but rest 3 times less.
This is what a snorer's heart looks like.
Empty and broken, I came back to Him. A vessel unworthy and so scarred with sin. But He did not despair. He started over again. And I bless the day He didn't throw the clay away. A vessel of honor I am today, and all because Jesus didn't throw the clay away. Well, He is the potter, you know, and I am the clay. Molded in His image, He wants me to stay. But when I stumble and I fall, and my vessel breaks, He'll just pick up those pieces. Oh, He'll never throw.
Amen. Bless the Lord. Good evening, everyone.
Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
Bless the Lord. The songwriter said, a vessel of honor I am today, all because Jesus didn't throw the clay away.
Amen.
You know, and we're happy. We are happy He didn't throw the clay away. Amen. He patch us up sometimes when we need patching up. He replaces broken pieces. He put them back together again. You know, We are happy that he did not throw the clay away. And that I want to welcome you to another Bible study. I think it's the last Bible study for this month, 30th of May. Yes, the last Bible study for this month. We're still looking at the book of Romans, and we are still at chapter 5. I think this is our third week at chapter 5. Hopefully we'll be able to finish it tonight. Amen. It's just a couple of verses, Lee, from verse 12 to 21. I think it's doable. Amen. Just going to look at the contrast between Adam and Christ. And yeah, it's basically that. The contrast between Adam and Christ. And we all know Adam, who Adam is. Amen. And we all know who Christ is. That's a given. And so it should be easy for us to just go through it, flesh it out, and get it together. Amen. So we're doing good. Are we doing good this evening? Are we excited to be alive at this time? It's a blessing.
Yeah. Amen.
Yes, yes, it's a blessing to live life to the fullest. Amen. We don't want to be cut short. We want to live all our days. It's a blessing when you can live all your days, because it's in this life that we can testify of the goodness of Jesus. There's no testimony in the grave. You know, so it's this life we can get all the benefits of the God that is released in this life and carried forward into glory. Amen. Before we go further, let us pray. Kind, loving, and eternal Father, we want to give you thanks. We want to give you praise for your grace and for your mercies. You love us so much. We thank you for that love that you have bestowed upon us. You have flooded our hearts with it so that we can have the hope of eternal glory. We thank you, mighty God, that there is no obstacle too difficult for you to remove from our path. We thank you, Lord God, that your word, when spoken, it can cut clear our path to give us clearance on every side. Even now, mighty God, we silence every noise of the enemy. In the name of Jesus, every negative thoughts said about us, we come against it with the fire of the Holy Ghost. And we pray, mighty God, that you will fertilize our heart with your word and your blood, so that, mighty God, we will be a fountain of living waters. Something, mighty God, that will cause us to stand out different in any crowd that we are in. To know, mighty God, that you, our life is a reflection of what you have shone, the light that you have shone upon us. And so even as we come, we pray, mighty God, that you will cause us to be acceptable and adaptable to your word. Your word cuts sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow. It's a discerner of the thoughts and the very intention of our heart. Light a light within us, mighty God. May the words of my mouth, meditation of my heart, be acceptable in your sight. You're my strength and my redeemer. Bless your people, oh God, as your word go forth in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. So we go straight into it. Romans, almost say Acts. Romans chapter 5. Because last week I was teaching on Romans, Acts chapter 5. You know, so Romans chapter 5, Acts chapter 5. So it's like, yeah, it's like my mind. Ever since I'm preparing it earlier on today and throughout, I'm always drawn back to Acts, Acts of the Apostles, Acts chapter 5, Romans, you know, it's, yeah, so pray me up as I teach in Jesus' name. Yeah, the contrast between Adam and Christ. And we're looking at Romans chapter 5, verses 12 to 21. Anyone there could just read that bit for us. Romans chapter 5, verse 12, verses 12 to 21. No one there?
All I'm right. Going to read.
Okay, go ahead, sis.
12. Oh, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression. Who is the figure of him that was to come, but not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, has abounded unto many. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. For if by one man's offense death reign by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That as gift had reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through it righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen. Thank you, Sister Edda. Yes, moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace much more abound. Grace, grace, grace. Amen. So Paul would contrast between what the theologians would call typology between Adam and Christ, in which Adam serves as a type or a foreshadow of Christ. You know, yet Christ infinitely surpassed Adam in every respect. It's a comparison where they say is typology is a type, where Adam is a type of Christ. You know, but just like how the grace is not comparison to the sin that we commit. It shows the difference between Adam and Christ right there, where Christ far surpassed Adam. Amen. Yes, just like the sin, when grace come, when we receive that grace, is far greater than any sin that we has committed. It's poured out, it's lavished upon us. Amen. So verse 12 said that therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man, that is through Adam, amen, and death through sin, and in this way death came to all people because all sin, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Amen. So sin is not an eternal reality. And when I say sin is not an eternal reality, what I mean is that sin entered the world. It wasn't there from eternity. like Jesus Christ, God, the Holy Spirit. You know, it had a point of original human, a point of entry in original human history. You know, sin entered the world. The word of God tells us, verse 12, that sin entered the world through one man. And that one man was Adam. He serves as a gateway through which sin invaded the human race. And what happened after that? After sin entered the world, entered the world, death followed sin. Amen. And this is an inseparable consequence. The consequence of sin is death. That's where it leads to. So death is not merely a natural process in Paul's theology. It is the wage and penalty of sin. Wages of sin is death. Gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. So death came to all people because all of sin, the university, that's the universality of death. You know, Paul underscores that death reigned even over those who did not sin in the same way Adam did. You know, that even before the Mosaic law was given, people between Adam and Moses had no explicit commandment to violate the Adam as Adam did, yet they still died. Amen. So this demonstrates that death power was not merely about individual transgression, but about a condition that Adam introduced into the entire human race. So we are faced with it. We are faced with it. All of sin comes short of the glory of God. That is why we need Jesus. Amen. So Adam being a type of Christ. Adam, Bible mentioned that Adam, who is a pattern of the one to come. The one to come is Christ Jesus. Paul called Adam a type of Christ. This is crucially hermeneutic. And you know what the hermeneutical concept, that's the study of our method of interpretation, interpreting the text. You know, that's what theologians call it, hermeneutics. So that's the study of it. Amen. So a type is a person or event or institution in the Old Testament that prefigures or foreshadows something greater in the New Testament. You know, it is said that the Old Testament is the New Testament concealed, and the New Testament is the Old Testament revealed. Amen. So Adam is a type of Christ in the sense that both are representative head, whose single action adds consequence to all humanity. So both Adam and Christ, they are representative head. Amen. So Adam is the head of sin, Christ is the head of righteousness. Amen. So because of Christ's righteousness, because of what he did, he poured it out, it affected the whole world. Just like what Adam sinned, it's affected the whole world. Amen. Other types in the Bible, we'll see like Noah's Ark is a type of salvation in Christ. Noah's Ark, you know, they came in two by two. It's a type of salvation in Christ. We see all Isaac and Jesus type. Isaac is a type of Jesus. Joseph is a type of Jesus. Moses is a type of Jesus as a deliverer. You know, set the people free from bondage, just like how Jesus delivers us from sin. You know, we see where manna is a type of Jesus because Jesus is the bread of life. Manna is the bread that was given to the Israelites in the wilderness when they left from Egypt. Amen. Yes, and Paul also mentioned the how much more. In the verses followed, the verses before verse 12 that we started off this evening, we see the how much more started there. How much more if Christ did this for us, if he shed his own blood, how much more will he not deliver us from whatever situation that we are in. Oh, much more, oh, much more. He has done the greater part of it already. So the lesser part of just us being an individual, going through an individual obstacle, is nothing compared to what Christ has done on the cross for the whole human race. You know, so whatever problem we may have or whatever situation we may be in, individually or collectively, know for sure that Christ, he has done the greater work already. And that simple little thing that we're going through, it may seem like a mountain to us because we're living the reality of it. But know for sure that because he lives within us, he's able to take us through it, because he who has started that good work will see it through to completion. So much more. You know, grace is not merely equal to sin. Grace, the grace that Christ offered to us, is not merely equal, is not equal to sin, but is far exceeds sin. That grace, you know, it covers it multiple. It cannot count the grace that we have received that covers our sin. The gift. So the gift is not like the transgress, like always sin. The gift that we receive. The word said in verse 15, but the gift is not like the transgress. For if the many died for the trespass of the one man, how much more did God's grace and the gift that came by grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, overflow to many? So Adam's trespass brought death to many. When Adam sinned, it brought death to many, to everybody.
All people.
Everybody, all have sinned because of Adam's sin. But Christ's grace brought a gift that overflows to many. You know, if you receive it, receive the gift. You know, the word overflow, it suggests abundance, surplus, excess. So grace does not merely compensate for sin, but it flood beyond the damage sin causes. You know, the grace that we receive, it flood beyond the damage that sin causes. You know, and we can see it, examples of that. In the Bible as well, we see where the prodigal son in St. Luke chapter 15, 11 to 32, thereabout. The son wasted everything, yet the father did not just accept him back. He celebrated him exclusively, even celebrated him beyond the other son that was there. Amen. He lavished a celebration upon him that doesn't compare to what he has wasted. He didn't even mention, grumbled what the son has wasted in riotous living and whatever. He just lavished him back to the kingdom, to the house. Amen. The woman that was caught in the act of adultery, Saint John 11, Saint John 8, first 11 verses. She was guilty under the law, but Christ offered mercy.
Grace.
Yes, and a new start instead of condemnation. You know, and that mercy and that grace that was received instead of condemning her, it covers a multitude
of sin.
Mm-hmm. You know, that grace surmount above all whatever sin we may commit. Look at the thief on the cross. How much more, you know, could it be? The thief on the cross standing right there, and he said, remember me when you go into your kingdom. And he said, today you shall be with me in paradise. You know, at the very point of death, he received that outpouring, that overflowing of grace. You know, not even to mention those that I've mentioned before, not even those that I've mentioned before, but look at Peter's denial. When Peter denied Christ, because he had it coming for him, you know. Because Jesus would have gone to Peter and said, the devil is about to sift you as wheat.
As wheat.
But I've prayed for you. And when you have overcome, encourage the brethren. You know, hear that, mate, that great testimonial when Jesus would have said, who do men say that I am? And he said, some say that you're Elias, some say that you're a prophet, some say you're John the Baptist, so all kind of names. But Jesus said, but who do you?
You
And
say that I am.
he wasn't speaking directly to Peter, he was speaking to his disciples. He said, who do you say that I am? And Peter would stand up in that in that group, and he would say that thou art the Christ,
The
the
Christ, Son of the
Son
Living
of the living
God.
God. And Jesus would have turned and said, flesh and blood did not reveal it to you, but the Spirit of Almighty God revealed it. And he said, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build
Be
my
my
church,
church and
the
gates of hell.
Satan prevail against it. And all that I'm saying to you now, it happened before the denial. All of that had transpired, happened before the denial. And yet, Peter would have denied Christ thrice before the cock crow once. And even at that point, Jesus would have already said it to Peter. And Peter walked right into that step and he denied. And yet, Christ restored him. He went and found him where he was, because then and there he went back to his fishing life after the crucifixion. He went back to fishing life and stuff. And Jesus would have gone there on the seaside and he'd have called them and had a conversation with them. And he would specifically
Peter,
talk to Peter and say, do you love me? Love
more
it, love
than
me more
these.
than these. Feed my sheep, feed my lamb, you know? And Christ would have restored him so that he was anointed. He received the gift of the Holy Spirit and in Acts chapter 2. And he preached a sermon that day that 3,000 people
Souls
added
to
to
the
church.
church.
Started the church right there and then. What restoration is greater? His restoration was greater than
Restore
denial.
great grace, God's grace.
Yeah, God's grace. Paul, being a Paul, he was Saul before he became Paul. He became Paul after his conversion from Saul. He was a persecutor. He persecuted the Christians. And he was even consenting to the death of the first deacon. That's
Even
Stephen. He consented to his death there and then. Look at the transformation that the grace of God would have offered Paul, that he now can turn to not a persecutor, but he is now a great evangelist. Started so many churches. A chief, he said that when Paul realized the grace that was lavished upon him, he said, I'm not worthy. I am the least among all the apostles. When he said he's the least among all the apostles because what he did, he didn't and see the lavish of the grace of God covers him so much so that and what God would have been doing through him, grace is abundance, isn't it abundance? And we too, if we look back at our lives and see where we're coming from, we would have realized that grace was truly greater than all our sins.
our sins.
Amen. Greater,
Amen.
truly greater. So human failure is real and human failure is serious, but God's response in grace is
Grace.
further. It restores, it transforms, and it often brings about something greater than what which was lost. Amen. Yes, the gift addresses not just one sin, but many sin. In verse 16, it said, nor can the gift of God be compared with the result of one man's sin. The judgment followed one sin and brought condemnation. All right, judgment followed one sin and it brought condemnation. But the gift followed many
Gift
trespasses and
trespasses.
brought justification. All right, So this is very remarkable. This is very remarkable. And it looked very irregular. It looked very, very irregular. Because the word is saying that one sin brings forth condemnation to
Condemnation.
everybody, right? But many trespasses bring forth justification. That maybe you're saying that it don't add up, but that's just to show you how much grace is greater than all our sin. Many trespasses bring justification. And
Righteousness.
we have looked at that word justification. It's a legal word. It makes right,
Make
make you right.
right with God.
Erase the wrong and make you right. So
Right.
if Adam's single sin was
And
enough to condemn the whole world,
Lord.
ate the forbidden fruit, the fruit that was in the middle, what God said, do not eat from
Oh.
that. So his sin condemned the whole world. Amen. Imagine the power of Christ's grace. It doesn't just deal with one sin. Remember that it was Adam one sin, but God's grace
All of us,
didn't just deal with one sin. It deals with the accrued sin of
yes.
all
All.
humanity across all of history.
Amen.
It's like Adam's sin, Adam one sin, caused there to be a diverse opening or overflowing of sin across the whole human race, whether
Yes.
you were born then or you're born after you're born in sin, shaping
Sing.
iniquity. Amen. Is one sin causes that. But the one act of Calvary bring forth justification, and it shed abroad multitude of sin all across humanity. It covers all human sin, past, present, and future. You may look at the mass of grace, and you say it's very staggering. It's very staggering. It's very uneven. It staggers, because we can't even fathom all the love that has been bestowed upon us so that we can be called the children of Almighty God. We are standing in victory because of the cross work of Jesus Christ. We were to be condemned and died, but because of the cross work of Christ, we stand redeemed. There is therefore now no
No
condemnation.
condemnation. Yes,
Romans 8, verse 1, to them that are in Christ Jesus, who walk
Jesus.
not after the flesh, but after the spirit.
Spirit.
Amen. Yes, so the reign of life replaced the reign of death. The ruling of life replaced what death would bring forth, because sin walk hand in hand with death.
Sin brings
Remember,
death
look at that. Sin walk hand in hand with
and
death.
death.
Whenever you see sin, run from it, because right behind sin is death. The wages of sin is death. So whatever, when you see sin coming forth, run from it, because it accompanies death.
Amen.
Amen. Yes, so there is two universal consequences that we would have seen, that Sister Heather would have read in verse 18 and 19. And for those of us that just coming on, we're looking at Romans chapter 5, verses 12 to 21. Amen. Yes, so we're at verse 18 and 19 now, and we're looking at the two acts of the universal consequences. Amen. And we're looking at obedience versus disobedience. Verse 19 says, for just as though as through the disobedience of one man, the many were made sinners, so also through the obedience of one man, the many were made righteous. The
Righteous.
first one man was Adam. Through the disobedience of Adam and through the obedience
Of Christ.
of one man, that one man is Christ Jesus, many will be made righteous. You realize that he didn't say that all will be made righteous. He said many, because you have to receive it in
Mm.
order to claim it. You cannot claim it without receiving it. Amen. So Adam's disobedience constitutes humanity as sinners, and Christ's obedience constitutes believers as righteous. That means we are justified. Amen. So the word made that is used, it means appoint. It means you constitute. It means establish in a position, right? Look at that word, appoint. Look at the word establish in a position. So we were made righteous because of Christ Jesus. We were made righteous. Look at it, made righteous.
Righteous.
Amen. It is not saying that we are gradually becoming righteous.
Made.
That's sanctification. It doesn't mean that we're gradually becoming righteous, but we were
made righteous.
Righteous.
Amen.
And that should be an amen for real.
Yeah.
That should be something to give God thanks for,
amen.
Because of the obedience of Christ, we were made.
Made
We are
right.
Made.
Hallelujah.
And the word made is appointed. We are appointed. You know, we are declared. It is saying that we are declared and we are established as righteous. So, and Christ, the solid rock, we are now standing.
Jesus.
You know, this is and this is the doctrine for those of you who may have studied Bible. This is the doctrine of imputed righteousness. Christ's righteousness is credited to the believer's account, to our account. Christ's righteousness is credited to it. So we are imputed righteous because we are not in our own righteousness, but we are in the righteousness of Christ, because all our righteousness is as filthy rags.
Amen.
We cannot stand justified before Almighty God unless we are standing in Christ alone, in his righteousness. Whatever we receive from God now in grace is through Christ that we receive it. We cannot overstep our bounds. We have to go through Christ. And the word of God tells us that even as we speak, Christ would make intercession for us, for the believers, with groaning that words cannot even utter. He loves us.
Amen.
Amen. So the role of the law, looking at verse 20, the role of the law was
brought in
so that the trespass might increase. So Paul said the law was
brought in
so that the trespass might increase.
But to point out the need for it.
Yeah.
Need
so this statement is very is like a starting point there, because Paul is not saying the law. Paul is not saying that the law is bad, you know, but rather that one of his divine purpose, one of the law's divine purpose, was to expose and magnify sin.
Yeah.
Yes, that was one of the law's purpose. The purpose, one of his purposes is to magnify sin so that sin be known.
Reveal
And I was
giving
an example of it the other day when I said, like, MRI machine, or one of those scan machine, it just tell you that you have a problem. When you go through that machine, it just tell you that you have a problem, but it doesn't fixes the problem. When the problem is magnified, then there's another course of action to remedy that discovery of that sickness, right? There's another course of action. But and that's what the law does. It shows you that you have a fault, but it doesn't remedy the fault. You only can be cleansed and free from sin through the blood of the
Jesus Christ, become holy.
So the law makes sin visible.
Yes, reveal
it. Makes it explicitly visible. But the law and the law makes sin measurable. So it makes it visible. It makes it measurable. Amen. And the law also makes sin inexcusable. So it's visible, it's measurable, and it's now inexcusable. Human can no longer, we can no longer claim that we are innocent. We have heard the word. We know what Christ Jesus has done. You know, and the law even goes further to provoke sin.
Amen.
Yeah, so the forbidden becomes desirable. The forbidden becomes desirable due to the perversity of human nature. And you know that human nature is not smooth as it should be. Human nature is human nature from the very inception after sin is out of line, out of whack, out of order. Even a young baby, if you want to tell her, if you want a young baby not to do anything, not to do something or not to touch something, don't even mention it, because the moment you say don't touch that, the baby going to go as, even when you're not looking, the baby going to go and touch it.
Touch
you
it.
Said don't, you better you didn't say anything. Because
yeah.
That's in human nature. That's what was imputed in our computer
nature.
System.
Yes.
That was imputed in our computer system to respond like that. So whenever you find that there is sin going on down there, it's like your old tendency is to participate in that sin. So, and that's what was imputed. Remember, just like our righteousness was imputed because of Christ in us, is the same way sin was imputed in through Adam and stuff. So we need the grace of God in order to remove, to shake us up. Amen.
Amen.
The law was never meant or intended to be the solution. It was never the solution, but it was rather the diagnostic tool that reveals the depth of the disease, just making the cure, and the cure of it is grace, all more necessary and glorious. Amen. I think this is the best, one of the most startling verse 20b, where sin
increase,
grace increase all the more. And people would have the tendency to use this verse to commit all manner of evil, because they say that the vile are the sinner, the rich are the blood. Amen. But it shouldn't be looked at as so. Or shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? You know, when we come and taste and see that the Lord is good, we should not wallow up in sin anymore. The word of God says, come out from among them, be ye separate. You know, so not because we know how lavishing and how outpouring the grace of God is. That doesn't mean that we must presumptuously falter. If we know something as a known sin, are it going to lead to sin? Don't go that route. Not because you know that the grace of God will cover it. That doesn't give you license. So not because we know that how lavishing grace can pour out into a human, that doesn't give us license to sin. You know, but rather it gives us license to live under the threshold of grace. Live under the threshold of grace, under the boundaries of grace. Amen. So you'd have people that would presumptuously, and I think I remember Sister Camille shared a testimony about that presumptuousness. You know, yes, that you know there to be a known sin or something leading up to sin. And because you know that you can go pray and ask for forgiveness, you're going to hands and gloves with it, because you know that God is merciful and he is slow to anger. and he will cleanse you from all impurities and all sin. But God is a God of judgment. Also, yes, he's a God of judgment and he's a jealous God. So whenever you are tempted to sin presumptuously, look at the jealousness of God and how he require righteousness. Look at Nadab and Abihu, who offered strange sacrifice. They were cut down without even excused. You know, look at Ananias and Sapphira in Acts chapter 5. Look how they were cut down without even excuse. And the word of God in, I think it's Proverbs 29, verse 1, said that a man that is often warned and don't take heed, he will be suddenly cut down, and that without remedy. No excuse. So we do not know the length of or the breadth of the grace that we have. So let's not abuse it because we do not know if we're on borderline. So don't ever, make looking over the fence into a manner of evil be appetizing to you or be a desire to you. But instead, go far away from saving station. Just continue to rappel and popel into the very presence of God. Don't just stay on the banking. And that is why, you see, most Christians would fall short, would fall off because they're too close to the cliff. It's as if they're saying that, I'm going to tell you a piece of my mind and then go back into church because they're too close to the edge to drop off. You know? And they would quick to say that, they're going to do this and do that. They're going to transgress. They're going to sin because they can't go back in line. And they do all manner of evil throughout the week because they know that Sunday they can go to the altar. You know, Sunday they can go into the altar and repent. But it should not be so. Grace is not a common place where you presumptuously sin and run to grace. You know, I know we sin by omission and by commission. Sometimes we don't even know that we have sinned. You know, that's different. You don't even know. Even though the word of God tells us that my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. But you were not privy to be exposed to that limitation, and you fall short and you sin. You know, that's not presumptuous. You have all rights to enter boldly into the throne of grace so you can obtain mercy. But is the one that you knowingly know that you find an opportunity to encourage sin, and you use that opportunity, you know, because you know that how loving God is, and you're going to use that opportunity to sin. It doesn't work like that, people of God. That being presumptuous, and you will find that you will reach at a place where your conscience now becomes snared like an hot iron, and the grace, even though it's poured out and lavished upon you, it doesn't mean biscuit to you anymore, because you same one going to wallow up after you have been forgiven. No, you are going to be wallowing up in sin tomorrow. You know, and that, you know, so we have to be ever so careful. And, you know, we are now partaker of the old Godhead inside of us, Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. You know, we have to be so careful of our walk, careful of our talk and what we do. Amen. Do we have anything to share? Anything, any questions, anything to enlighten the group before we go further? Amen. Are we learning?
Yes.
Amen.
Yes. I know that whenever I touch this the topic of grace and mercy and cleansing and forgiveness and purification and justification, it's whichever setting it's in, it's always going to be like a meditated moment, a moment that we examine our hearts before Almighty God. You know, a moment where we recognize that we have fallen short on many of occasion.
Oh.
I don't remember the full name. Remind me, Holy Spirit. You know, yeah, I don't remember it. I don't remember it, but there's what's his name again? It's like your it's like the presumptuousness of sin. Something like the presumptuousness of
Oza,
sin.
is it Oza?
No, it's not a Bible character, but it's like a teaching. It's
Okay.
like a teaching. Situational ethics.
Okay.
Yeah, situational ethics. People of God, don't let situational ethics get the best of you and to lose your sanity because of it. One of the situations that that we looked at that kept everyone silent in the classroom some years ago when I was in Bible school. And one of the situations, the professor said that supposing you live with your spouse. You know, you live with your spouse. There's a armed robber break into the house, and you hide under the bed, right? You hide under the bed, and your spouse hide in the closet, right? Your spouse and your young baby hide in the closet, and you hide under the bed, and the armed robber. When I say armed robber, I mean man with a gun.
Oh,
Gun.
yes, gonna
The
kill.
armed robber come and he look under the bed and find you. He's a household of faith. You're a Christian. Your wife is a Christian. So the Christianity rub off on the baby as well.
Yes.
Yeah, because they are in the. And the gunman find you under the bed and draw you out and say, "Is there any other in here?"
Lord Jesus, have mercy. Oh my God, what a situation.
Use wisdom, use wisdom. Oh my.
Oh Lord, come in,
No, but you
Jesus.
say, Sister Alicia, tell me the wisdom that you want
Oh,
to use in that situation now.
come on, Jesus.
I
Come on,
will
Jesus.
tell the gunman that is only me alone in the house. Wisdom.
And
I am gonna tell
there
it.
you go compromising.
I'm going to say yes. But God will take note of the situation. God will lead me through. Yes.
Yes, meaning what, Sister Thelma? Yes, meaning that there is others in the house.
Another person in the house. There are others in
Amen.
the house.
Amen.
God is
That
going to
is where
take
we
me through.
stand firm. That is where we stand firm because the word of God said to live is Christ.
To die.
To live is Christ. To die is gain.
Yeah.
You know, but to live is Christ. So the gunman asks you, is there another in the house?
Pray. I
Pray
will
and say
answer.
yes.
Pray and say yes.
Answer.
Yes.
You know, when you suppress the truth, we spoke about it, you know, suppressing the truth. We looked at it in Acts chapter 1, you know. No, Romans chapter 1. Was it Romans chapter 1, Minister Lynette,
The
that we
cancer
look at
piece.
suppressing the truth?
That's a big prayer now.
Yeah. When we have been a people that suppress the truth. You know, we don't like to tell the truth, especially when we come up on situations. But situation ethics would bring up circumstances like these. Remember that as Christians, as professing Christ as Christians, we live in situations. we live. So you will often hear us praying about the situation that we are in and the circumstances that we are in and stuff. The situation and the circumstances. It's like a never-ending decimal. Situation, circumstances. It shows the season that we are in, but we refer to it more familiar with situations and circumstances. It just refers to the season that we are in. And right now online, all of us is not in the same season.
No.
Some of us is in the season of reaping, some is in the season of planting, some is in the season of mourning, some is in the season of rejoicing, some is in the season of luck, some is in the season of abundance. Some is, you know, we are in different seasons. But what I love with the word of God, we have individually, we have the blessed Holy Spirit that is in us, that when the word comes forth, it causes us to align the word to our individual situation and circumstances, so it makes sense in the end. So right now, whatever season you're in, when the word of God comes to you, when faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God, we now have a spiritual adjustment that is taking us. And we're looking at the same word that we're looking at, where sin increase, grace much more abound. That word causes a lot of people, lot of individuals, lot of Christians and professing Christians to commit spiritual suicide. Yeah, because you know that sin walk with death. And when you allow Satan to lure you into sin, he's luring you into death. And you are compromising your godly standard when you open your inner being to accept or to participate in sin. And you don't even know your limit when grace going run out.
Yeah.
Your individual situation,
Lord,
and you in turn, you are now in a position of committing spiritual suicide. So each time situation comes upon you, and you fail, you're thinking of failing, or to throw in the towel and then take it up back next week. Think about you being committing a spiritual suicide.
Yes, yes.
You know how much it takes to afford a ounce of anointing? For the anointing comes on clean vessels. The vessel has to be clean for the anointing that breaks the yoke and bring the deliverance to come upon you. And for you to be in that cleanse moment, that repentant moment where you lay every sin aside and reaching forward to grace rolling on to what is ahead of you.
Amen.
It takes some pushing and some shoving. It takes some consecration and some determination to reach that level of anointing. And it takes a whole lot on your knees. It takes a whole lot of a waking up. It takes a whole lot of doing something outside the box. And to lose that anointing, it can take just a second by just luring into the trap.
Oh God.
It's so easy to lose your anointing.
Oh my God.
You know, and do you know that it is possible? It is possible that you can even preach and teach, magnify the gift of the Spirit without even the anointing being present there. Because you have lost the anointing long ago, but the gifts are still activated and is still with you. Because the word of God tells us that the gift and the calling of God, they are without repentance. When God gives you a gift, he doesn't take it back. He doesn't take it back. So you can be operational spiritually and doing all manner of spiritual service, and the anointing has gone from you because you have You have traded it for something in the world that you think is more profitable than the spiritual. You have traded your anointing for something in the world that you think is more beneficial to you. No, you're not looking at the long term. You know, and you trade, you go as far as to trade your anointing. And the Spirit of the Lord has departed from you long ago.
And you're
operating in the gifts. That is why Jesus would have told the parable and said, and he said, people would come and they would say, Lord, have I not prophesied in your name? Have I do this and miracles in your name?
Depart from me.
And no, you're not. We work as of evil, iniquity. Depart, run away. Take away yourself.
From me. Hallelujah.
He said, take away yourself. and no, you're not. You know? That is why you don't practice to know a believer by their fruits, by their gifts, but know them by their fruits. Sister Terry?
Yes, Deacon. Good night, everyone. That's what I was going to say. I do agree with what you're saying, because when you consider Saul, you know, over time, he was anointed, but he lost his anointing to lead. I was going to ask you, how does one understand that the anointing has been lost? But then you just said it, by the fruits. You know, so the gifts are there, and they're still operational, but there are no fruits. There's nothing happening.
Yeah.
So you answered the question that I was about to ask. But if you can elaborate on it a little more, I would appreciate it.
Amen. Amen.
Saul knew that the anointing was gone from him. That's why he went to seek out the witch of Endor. He knew the anointing had gone from him. He had no longer walking in the presence of God.
Yes. Yes, he knew. He knew the anointing went.
Yes, you know when it's gone. You know.
Yeah, you will know when it's gone because you have an inner conscience that regulates your spirit.
Yes.
Your inner conscience tells you that you're not right and
you're
stuff.
Not right.
The question has been asked, why did Abraham lie? And the lie that he told was that Sarah was not his wife, but his sister.
Technically, did that lie.
No, it was his wife.
He lied because of fear.
Yes.
It could be because of fear.
Isaac did the same thing.
And she was actually his half sister.
Yeah,
that's right, half sister.
Yes.
That's right.
Amen. So that wasn't a blatant lie, as it were.
Yes, so it was a half and half. It was his half sister, but Sister Thelma, our Sister Lucille, is his half sister, but is he his half wife or full wife?
Full wife. It wasn't a blatant lie per se, not a blatant lie.
Yes.
It was the truth.
Yes.
It was both.
Yes. So Abraham lied.
It was a lie, nevertheless.
And he was a father of faith. He was a father of faith. Right? Moses delivered many. And yet Moses was a murderer.
Of course.
All right. You see?
Yes. So and then you find Paul, he was a persecutor, yet he's a great evangelist.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
You know, you'd find David. He tried to exhaust the command, the thou shall not. He tried to exhaust it. Thou shall not kill. Thou shall not covet. Thou shall not commit adultery. He tried to exhaust it, and yet he was a man
act.
Of God's own heart.
In one act.
Yeah, he was a man of God's own heart. You know, So we as people,
one path in turn over the whole set.
Yeah, we as people, we have a whole Adamic nature, but we should not let the whole Adamic nature become dominant in our life. We should not let the whole Adamic nature, that Adamic nature is from Adam's sin,
right.
But we should not let it become dominant. We should let the grace of God, we should let Jesus covers it all.
Yes,
and
yes,
you know,
yes,
keep
yes.
us under. Keep
oh,
us
yes.
under. You know, is a big studying saints. And Abraham lied. We pray to the God of Abraham, Jacob, Joseph. Mm-hmm. Abraham is the father of faith. Abraham said some very profound statement. He set a good example. You know, the good example is not the lie. But look at the end of him. Look at where he moved towards. Sometimes some drastic things have to happen in our life for us to become rooted and grounded, you know. You know, you may be climbing up a cliff and you may reach a spot that you take lightly and you put your foot in that spot and that spot causes you to slide. When you get back grounds and you start standing firm again on that, holding on firm on that cliff, you're going to be more careful next time, you know.
Exactly.
So when we're climbing up the ladder of faith, anytime we reach at a spot where we begin to become slippery or slide, we're going to be more careful next time we come that way. So if you fall into a trap where you have to compromise and whatever, you know, don't lean towards the compromising aspect of it, but try to let your faith lift you beyond measure. Sister Nadine?
Yes, Deacon. Listening keenly to what you're saying and what the Word of God is saying also. Sin abound, grace much more. I come to the realization that, yes, we were born in sin and we were shaped in iniquity. And so, you know, wherever we one have to be dominated, it's either sin or grace. One is always
Amen.
in
Amen.
Operation.
Amen.
Dominating. So if it is sin, if we are sinning, sin is going to rise.
Yes.
But if we don't get it under control with grace, so grace is always there suppressing that sin because of our nature to sin. That's how we were born. Grace have to be there at all times, suppressing or in other words, pressing down sin, make sin stay down, so we can live a godly life through grace. Then anytime grace goes down, sin is going to suppress grace,
yes.
And we always are going to sin. So we tell the little lie. We will do the little this, we will do the little that until it begin to reign in our lives.
My
but
God.
One, you know, so it's either or. One is always suppressing the other at each time. You know, because it's the wrestling with the two. So
yes.
We, children of God, have to ask the Lord to help us to, you know, that grace will always be abounding in our lives, that it will suppress the sinful nature. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you, Sister Nadine. Bless the Lord. One is always competing with each other, but because you know light and darkness can't coexist. Light and darkness can't exist in the same realm. So either, that's why the Bible said, do not entangle yourself with unequally yoke. Don't unequally yoke, because at some point or the other, one is going to want
dominate
to suppress the other. Amen. Sister Camille?
Yes, good night, everyone.
Good night, sis.
Powerfully said, Sister Nadine. So true. I am in agreement. I was going to make comment on the fact that you would have mentioned some, you know, persons in the Bible who would have fallen short, who would have, you know, done different things. You say Abraham lied, Elijah would have, you know, one day called on fire on the mountain, the next day hiding, you know. And I do believe that these things the Lord will allow to be in the word to show us as human beings that, and I think you had said it not in so many words earlier, Deacon, to say that when we are in certain situations and, you know, when we fall, it's not to say that even though we believe in God and even though we have faith, you know, we won't slip or we, you know, things won't happen, you know, but it's to say that even with all of this happening, God is still able to use us. As long as we find ourselves at a place of repentance, a place where, because look at what David did, but then he found himself at a place of repentance, and he was still referred to as a man after God's own heart, you know? So these things happen, I believe, to show us that when, to confirm the scripture that said, there is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. So when we fall short and these things happen to us and we are tempted, and for whatever reason, you know, we yield, maybe because grace, sin was suppressing grace at that point in time, but we yield to that temptation and we have sin. We don't write ourselves off. You know, we get up, we brush ourselves off, we go back to the Lord. And as you would have said earlier, Deacon, when we get to that place again, we will be stronger rooted so that we don't make the same mistakes again. Amen. So I think with
Amen.
all of that, all of those characters, it's still grace that the Lord is extending and showing us that he will extend grace to us should we slip, should we dash our foot against a stone. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Bless the Lord, Sister Camille. So true. You know,
Brother Scott,
go ahead, Sister Thelma.
I would like to think, in light of what Sister Camille just said, sometimes we as Christians, sometimes we're on the mountaintop experience, like what she mentioned with Elijah. Yes, sometimes we're on the mountaintop experience, but then we come down because there's work in the valley. Like the experience of three disciples at the transfiguration of Jesus. They
Yes.
were on the mountaintop. I remember what Peter said. He didn't want to come down. The experience was so great that he did not want to come down from that. But Jesus realized there's work in the valley to be done.
Yes, they said, let us build three tabernacles.
Yes, there's work in the valley.
Yes, amen. Amen, Sister Thelma. And don't forget about Brother Peter as well. Brother Peter
He died Christ.
denied
Yes,
Christ, and he
yes,
found the
yes.
he was the one who Jesus would use.
And
Yes.
look at the great message he preached on Pentecost.
Yes. And he was bold after that. He stand up before the
Yes.
Sanhedrin and he would tell of his faith. You know, he was so
Bold,
firmly
bold. And
rooted and
they
tough.
have to think that, and they were so bold that they know that they had been with Jesus.
Yes. And I think it's in the book of Hebrew. Was it in the book of Hebrew? Was it in Corinthians that they say these things happen as an example so that we do not follow through or something to that effect? You know, things that we have seen that others have gone through in the Bible or in life here,
It
you
makes
know,
us stronger.
it makes us stronger. So if you know that fire burns, you're not going to go put your hand on fire and let it burn you. Another person's experience that you have seen that has fire has ruined them would cause you to know that fire burns. So don't go on and prove it. So what they did in the Bible was examples for us. The Bible tells the good, the bad, and the indifference. It doesn't hide anything from us. It doesn't hide anything from us. It's for us to develop in grace
Down.
and faith. You know, it doesn't record perfect people, Sister Grant, but it re record imperfect people who God used for His glory. Is imperfect people who God used, just like you and I. We were not like how we are today in the faith. We were wayward. We were treading deep in sin. We were backward. But now that free grace arose us, awoke us, we are now set right on the right path. with God. Amen.
It's
And
true.
we die daily to the flesh and the dictates of it. So the more we live, our life should testify of our onward marching, forward marching with Christ Jesus. You know, it should be more new heights. We should be reaching new heights.
New heights, new heights.
Not going back, but reaching forward for the things that are before. You know, and let this sink into you that your best days, our best days are ahead of us.
They're ahead of us.
Yes, or we're going forward to our best days.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah, no matter what you have achieved in the past, that's not your best. As long as you're alive, there's something more.
Oh, yes. Oh,
there
yes.
is something. There is something.
Greater heights.
Your
greater
best days.
Heights.
No matter how young you are, or how old you may be, or whatever, your best days are ahead of you. Amen. Just live with that. Amen. Before we close, before we ask Sister Jackie to come with our reminders. Anyone else want to share anything with us? You know, if, whether testimony, whether something pertaining to the topic that we did, an experience that you may have with this same topic, where sin abound, increase grace much more abound. Anything? Okay. With that said, I welcome you all. Thanks for joining with us, Sister Lucille, JBC. Whoa, we got JBC here. I'm looking for RJR as well.
John? Is that John?
I see JBC, Jamaica Broadcasting Corporation. I'm looking for RJR. Yeah, yes, I know that whenever you see iPad, that's Sister Grant. Amen.
Yes.
And whenever you see Galaxy Note 8, that's Brother Here. Gary.
What?
Yeah, Galaxy know. Note 8 is Brother Gary.
Gary.
Yes, and iPhone. Yeah. iPhone. Bless Lord, iPhone. We have not yet associated you with a name, and we want, when we pray for the group, we can call your name instead of saying iPhone,
because
there are so many iPhones. But we bless God for you. You're one of, if there is only one person here, we know that iPhone is going to be here. And we bless God for you. We continue to pray and encourage you in the Lord. Amen. Yes, we just want to bless God for you. I know that one of these days we're going to know who iPhone is, even though you're smiling now. But we're going to know who iPhone is. Amen. 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 Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. All right, Sister Jackie.
Good evening, everyone.
Good evening,
Sister Jackie.
Okay. The reminders for tonight, on behalf of the leadership of Faith Defenders Bible Study Group, it is my pleasure to welcome you. Faith Defenders Bible Study Group mission is to bring the hope of the gospel to our community and beyond. We are a non-denominational group dedicated to knowing Christ deeply and making him known. Through the authority of Scripture, we study to grow in wisdom and to actively share our faith by inviting others into a life-changing relationship with Jesus Christ and to build his kingdom one person at a time. It is our vision to see a transformed community where the hope of the gospel reaches every heart. We envision a growing body of believers rooted in the truth of God's word, who are actively and personally sharing their faith, expanding the kingdom of God one person, one small group, and one transformed life at a time. Last Thursday, for our joint midweek fellowship with Prayer Portals to Heaven, We studied Acts chapter 5. If you missed it, the replay is available at www.prayerportaltoheaven.com. Be sure to join us this Thursday at 8 p.m. Eastern when we meet around the altar presenting our needs to God. This will be hosted by our partner ministry, Prayer Portal to Heaven Ministry International, on the same link. It promises to be a blessing. Post it on your status and invite everyone you know. Looking forward to see you all next Saturday at 8 p.m. for our regular Bible study. Have a productive week winning souls for Christ by the life you live and the words that you speak. We now ask Sister Grant to close off in prayer and to do the benediction.
Just a word. Saints in Christ, I'm having a problem and I would like special prayer. So I just ask Sister Grant and the rest of you to pray for me. I have a knee here that is giving me problem. I don't respond to treatment, though I'm at work on. What's it called?
Okay.
Steroid. Steroid, but it's not responding to treatment at all. So then I planned to go and get it x-rayed, perhaps on Monday. So I'm asking for prayer that all will be well.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen, Amen, Sister Thelma. Definitely will be praying.
Amen.
As well.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
The nurse practitioner told me that if the steroid does not work, then I'll have to do the x-ray.
Okay.
And it did not work. I have only 2 tablets left. And I'm still having problem. I have to be drawing the knee. It's just not working.
But sis, let me tell you something. Sometimes you have to take off all the medication first before you start, because I got the same steroid and I think the cough only getting better. And it's since last week. Now I'm not coughing whole night and so. And the doctor said you have to take off the medication, then it work, then it start to work. So you're not finished yet. So maybe
the one dose that I have for tomorrow, the one dose I have for tomorrow. And it's still not responding. You know, there's no change in it then. It's very swollen now. Very swollen.
Okay.
I think it is all good.
So you think that we should wait a lot before going
yes,
to
yes, 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 Miss Jim, yes. Wait, I wouldn't do the x-ray yet. Wait first, because I did the same thing they gave me the shot too. And when I think, hear me, about this thing not working, I'm coughing and going on the same way. And it just starts to work.
Okay.
I'm not coughing again. I'm not coughing, no mucus coming up, nothing. And it's so long I had it.
Okay, I hear you.
So you wait, sis, you wait. I would wait a little longer.
Thank you, Lynette. Thank you.
Yes, dear. Now we're praying for you.
Yes, thank you.
Yes, what the medication won't do, the blood of Jesus will do.
Amen.
Sister Thelma.
Me, I know.
So as you take that medication tomorrow, we are agreeing that it is, you know, dosed to the blood of Jesus. And
thank
so what
you.
The others didn't do, this final dose is going to do, and it's going to allow you to feel that difference in the name of Jesus.
Thank you.
Amen.
Bless the Lord. Over to you, Sister Grant. Anyone else? Prayer request for anyone else? You could put it in the chat, or you could state it now as Sister Grant,
Heather,
please.
Can I have please some prayer, please? Heather.
Amen, Sister Heather.
And as it relates to me, please pray that I will be calm as I wait and documentation. And God will make ways for me and my children.
Mm-hmm. Jesus.
Amen, Sister Alicia.
Amen.
Okay. Yes, darling. Okay. Good evening, everyone.
Good evening, Sister Grant.
Sister Grant.
I'm going to try to summarize what I'm gathered from the study tonight. It was wide, so I try to summarize it. Adam is a type of Christ. And Adam brought about sin in human, which resulted in death. Jesus counteracted what Adam did. He redeemed us through grace. Adam brought death and condemnation, but Jesus, through his righteousness, brings us back into the right relationship with God through his grace. Universal consequences. Disobedience through Adam and obedience of Jesus Christ. Jesus makes us righteous and justified before God. Law exposes sin. Grace erases sin. We were warned against abusing God's grace. As believers, when we make blunders, we should confess it, repent, and ask for God's forgiveness. Amen. Let's go to God in prayer.
Amen.
Merciful God, righteous Heavenly Father, we approach your mercy seat at this time, Lord.
Yes, Jesus.
Giving you thanks, Lord, and praising you for allowing us to come together one more time to study your word and to receive the blessing that you had in store for us.
Hallelujah.
We thank you, O God, for blessing us with your word. Mm-hmm. And Lord, we pray that your word will continue to be a lamp to our feet.
Amen.
And a light to our path.
Thank you, Lord.
Lord, we thank you for your words, because your words has power. It influences us, Lord, to look to you and to look to Jesus Christ, the rock of our salvation.
Hallelujah.
Lord, we thank you tonight that Jesus came to our rescue. Because when all was sin and shame, Jesus came and he lifted us up. So tonight, God, we thank you for the cross of Calvary, where Jesus shed his precious blood.
Yes, Lord.
To redeem us and to set God. Us free
My
from the curse
God.
Of Adam.
Thank you, Jesus. Yes.
We thank you tonight, God, that there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus.
Hallelujah.
And Lord, you said that though our sins be as red as scarlet, you cleanse us and make us white.
Thank you, Jesus.
So God, we stand on your word tonight.
Hallelujah.
And we thank you, Lord, that there is a look and there is life at the cross. And even at this moment, there is life for each and every one of us.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Father God, we thank you that where sin abound, grace did much more abound.
My God.
Help us, Lord, not to use it as a means, Lord, of making excuses, but rather, Lord, to walk in the light of your word so that we may glorify you.
Thank you, Jesus.
Yes, Lord.
Father God, we have all sinned and come short of your glory. And so tonight, Lord, we ask for another dip in the fountain,
Jesus,
that flows from Calvary.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
We thank you, Lord, that the blood of Jesus,
yes, Jesus.
Ransoms us and sets us free.
Praise God.
Help us, Lord, to walk in the liberty
here
in Christ and set us free. Praise and not be entangled again.
You have minded.
Oh, Jesus.
Father God, we love you. We
yes,
praise you.
Lord.
We honor you.
Yes.
For loving us so much. Even when we were nothing,
oh,
you look
God.
Down on us and you lift us up.
Thank you,
Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, God, for your amazing grace.
Hallelujah.
Save even sinners like us. That tonight, Lord, we can come to the fountain and be cleansed and be delivered.
Hallelujah.
By the blood.
Father God, thank you for the one who led us tonight. We pray that you'll continue, Lord, to guide him and to lead him and to keep him focused.
Yes, Lord.
So he'll be able, Lord, to spread your word in no uncertain way.
Yes,
Because
Jesus.
we know, Lord, the devil tremble when
Oh,
he
God.
hears your word
Yes,
and when he hears your name.
hallelujah.
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 Father God, there are many of us on this platform tonight who have different needs and concerns. We bring them to you now. Lord,
Hallelujah.
my sister complains about her knee.
Yes,
that
Jesus.
is a problem to her at this time. And
Oh,
many
God.
others of us, Lord, are having different types of aches and pains.
Yes.
We lift them up to you, Lord, because you're the great physician.
In
You are the balm
Jesus'
in
name.
Gilead.
Yes, Lord.
Thank you,
Hallelujah.
Lord, we know
Yes,
that there is
sympathize
healing
in
in
Jesus.
your wings.
Hallelujah.
Oh, God, Jesus.
So God, we pray that you will touch the medication.
Hallelujah.
And Lord, may it
Thank you,
work in the way
Jesus.
it should work
In the name of
so that it will
Jesus.
bring
Yes,
healing.
Thank
Lord.
you,
Yes.
Jesus.
Father God, we pray for Sister Camille at this time, who has
Thank you,
paperwork
Lord.
to take care of.
Yes,
For
Lord,
the
Mr.
climate that we are
Elisha.
in at this time. And any other one, Lord, who is in the same position,
Yes.
we lift it up to you tonight,
Hallelujah.
God,
In the name of
because
Jesus.
devils flee
Oh,
when you
God.
work in your on our behalf.
Hallelujah.
Yes,
God.
so tonight,
Hallelujah.
God, we ask you tonight to bring positive results
Oh,
in every area.
Jesus.
Yes,
so we pray that you'll defeat the enemy
in the name of
in no uncertain
Mighty
time.
God,
Hallelujah.
As we plead the
Thank
blood of
you,
Jesus.
Jesus.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
And the
Hallelujah.
Negative things that are happening in
Oh,
our midst.
God,
Null and void in the name of
Oh, God. Oh, God.
Mighty
Jesus.
God,
Hallelujah.
Let your people
Jesus.
free.
Amen.
Thank you,
Because, Lord, we
Jesus.
know
In the name of
that we
Jesus.
believe who you are
Oh,
and we
Jesus.
trust you.
Hallelujah.
To work
Thank
things
you,
out
Lord.
for the good
Yes,
of your
Lord.
people.
Thank you,
We
Jesus.
agree.
Thank you,
Thank you,
Jesus.
Jesus.
Father God, we lift up Sister Heather tonight.
In the
You know,
name of
whatever concern
Jesus.
she has at this
Jesus.
time, Lord, we bring it to you.
Yes.
We lift up
Yes,
Gary.
Lord.
Oh, God. We pray,
oh God, that you'll be
Oh,
with
God.
Gary.
Oh, God.
Hallelujah.
And you know every situation, Lord,
Thank you,
because
Jesus.
you are the
Mighty
all-knowing
God.
God.
Yes,
And you're
Lord.
all-sufficient.
Thank you, Jesus.
Tonight, Lord, we lift up those who are absent from this platform.
Yes.
Those who used to be with us, and many of them are not here tonight.
Yes.
We
Oh,
pray,
God.
my Father, that you will be with them wherever
In
they are.
Jesus' name.
We pray that you will
Hallelujah.
minister to them, Lord,
Thank
and
you,
draw them
Jesus.
closer to you.
Yes.
We pray, Lord, that none of them will go astray.
Thank you,
but
Jesus.
Oh,
Lord, that
God.
they'll be rooted and grounded in your word.
Thank you,
Hallelujah.
Yes,
Jesus.
Lord.
Lord, to be refreshed, to be renewed,
Thank
to be
you,
revived,
Jesus.
and to be fed.
Thank you, Jesus.
Yes,
Father God,
Lord.
I pray for everyone on this platform tonight.
Yes, Lord.
Lord, lift us up. Let us stand on your word and help us, Lord, to reach out and touch others, not only by
Yes,
our words,
Lord.
Lord, but by the way we live and conduct our lives,
Yes.
so that we bring honor and glory to you.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Lord,
Hallelujah.
As we are about to separate from one another on this platform, be with us in our spaces, Lord.
Jesus.
Yes, Lord.
You know exactly what's going on in our space. We pray for our family members.
Yes.
And especially for those, Lord, who have not seek you. We pray, Lord, that they'll seek you and
Yes.
they'll find you before the hour
Yes.
too late appear.
Oh,
So, Lord,
God.
we commit ourselves now tonight into your care.
Let it
Be
be
with
done,
us,
Lord.
Lord, and watch over us and protect us as we give you glory and honor.
Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
In Jesus' name.
Hallelujah.
Yes, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Yes, Lord.
Hallelujah.
And now may the
Jesus.
grace of our Lord and
Lord,
Savior Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of his Holy Spirit be with your people now and forevermore. Amen.
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 Praise God. God bless you, Sister Grant.
Thank you,
bless the
Jesus.
Lord. Bless